Thank you for being an incredible supporter of the 10X Podcast Group, the home of the Murder Tape Chronicles. We're thrilled to have you as part of our growing community. If you haven't already, we'd love for you to follow us on your favorite podcast platform. Your likes and comments mean the world to us and help us reach a wider audience with our stories. Plus, with new episodes released every day, your feedback plays a vital role in shaping what we create. It truly makes a difference. Your loyalty and enthusiasm fuel our passion for crafting gripping tales, and we're so grateful for your support. Today, we're excited to present The Dead Letter Office, a story that promises to keep you on the edge of your seat. Let's dive into this thrilling narrative together. Chapter 1. The Forgotten Attic. The attic smelled of decay and forgotten time. Dust motes hung heavy in the air, illuminated by a single shaft of light slicing through a cracked window. Isabel Clark, a museum intern, pulled her cardigan tighter around her shoulders. The space was colder than it had any right to be, given the humid summer heat outside. She cursed under her breath as her flashlight flickered, casting ominous shadows on the peeling wallpaper. Her task had been simple: catalog the contents of the old post office attic for an upcoming exhibit on Elmswood's history. The town, once a bustling community, had dwindled into obscurity over the decades. Its decline was often spoken of in hushed tones, the details vague and inconsistent. This attic, untouched for years, might hold answers, or so Isabel hoped. She stumbled over a loose floorboard and caught herself against a stack of weathered boxes. One of them, unlike the others, was bound with thick twine and bore an ominous black wax seal stamped with an unfamiliar crest. Curiosity flared in her chest as she cut through the seal with trembling fingers. Inside were dozens of yellowed envelopes, their ink smudged but still legible. The addresses bore no names, only cryptic phrases like "to the lost" or "for the silent." Isabel picked up the first envelope and unfolded the fragile paper. The words scrawled across the page sent a chill down her spine. "They are watching. They are always watching. If you receive this, please run. Do not trust anyone. The keeper sees all." She froze. Her breath hitched in her throat as she reread the message. It wasn't just a letter. It was a plea. Hours later, Isabel sat in the cramped office of Elmswood's Historical Society, the letters spread across the desk in chaotic piles. She had called Evelyn Grant, a journalist she admired, with the hope that her discovery would spark a broader investigation. Evelyn had a reputation for chasing stories that no one else dared to touch, her dogged determination often leading to shocking revelations. When Evelyn arrived, her sharp eyes scanned the mess on the desk. "You said you found something worth my time," she said, brushing back her auburn hair. Her voice carried a skeptical edge, but Isabel detected the faint spark of interest beneath it. "These letters," Isabel said, her voice trembling, "they're strange. They're all dated before the town's population started vanishing. And the things they say, they're not normal. They talk about someone called the Keeper and something called the Circle." She slid the first letter toward Evelyn, who picked it up with care. Evelyn's expression shifted as she read. By the time she set the letter down, her knuckles were white. "Where did you find these?" she asked. "In the old post office attic," Isabel replied. "There's a whole box of them. No records of who sent them or why they were never delivered." Evelyn's mind raced. She had covered enough dark stories to recognize when she was on the cusp of something significant. But this felt different. More personal. More dangerous. "Let me see the rest," she said, already reaching for another envelope. As the evening stretched into night, Evelyn pored over the letters. Each one painted a picture of a town spiraling into fear and paranoia. There were references to disappearances, cryptic warnings, and accusations of betrayal. One letter stood out, a child's shaky handwriting pleading for their family to be saved. By the time Evelyn left the office, she knew she couldn't walk away. Whatever had happened in Elmswood decades ago was still casting its shadow over the town. And Evelyn, driven by equal parts curiosity and duty, was determined to uncover the truth. As she stepped out into the cool night, a shiver ran down her spine. Somewhere in the darkness, she felt eyes watching her, silent, unyielding, and unrelenting. Chapter 2, Whispers on Paper. Evelyn sat at the small desk in her motel room, surrounded by the eerie silence of Elmswood. The faint hum of the refrigerator was the only sound breaking the stillness. The letters lay in front of her, their yellowed pages and smudged ink a haunting reminder of a past that refused to stay buried. Each one felt like a whispered confession, a cry for help sent into the void. She reached for the second letter. The writing was uneven, as though the author had been trembling while penning the words. "They promised safety, but we were fools to believe them. The circle is not salvation. It is destruction. Do not trust the keeper. He is the devil in a man's skin." The words gnawed at Evelyn, filling her with unease. Who were these people? What was the circle? And why did these letters never leave the post office? She needed answers, but the town wasn't exactly forthcoming. The next morning, Evelyn headed to the local diner, the unofficial hub of gossip in Elmswood. The bell above the door jingled as she entered, drawing the attention of a few elderly patrons nursing their coffee. She ordered a black coffee and struck up a conversation with a waitress, a woman in her late 40s with a sharp tongue and an unmistakable curiosity. "Letters, you say?" the waitress, Linda, said as she refilled Evelyn's cup. "This town's full of secrets, honey. Always has been. You dig too deep, you might not like what you find." Evelyn leaned in, lowering her voice. "What do you know about the keeper? Or the circle?" Linda froze for a moment, the color draining from her face. "You're better off letting that go," she muttered, glancing nervously around the diner. "People who poke at those old wounds tend to disappear. Just like the folks back in 69. "But what happened in 69? Evelyn pressed. Linda shook her head, her lips pursed tightly. "The people who know aren't talking. And the rest of us don't want to end up like them." Evelyn knew she wouldn't get more out of Linda, so she left a generous tip and headed for the town's small library. People wouldn't talk, maybe the archives would. The library was a relic of another era, its shelves lined with musty books and forgotten records. Evelyn dug into the microfilm archives, searching for anything about the circle, the keeper, or the events of 1969. Hours passed, and she found little more than vague reports of a population shift and an economic downturn. Just as she was about to give up, she stumbled upon a letter to the editor in an old newspaper. It was unsigned but spoke volumes. "To those who still remain, you know what you've done. The circle will not forgive. The keeper is always watching, and the price of betrayal is steep. If you stay, you will burn with the rest." A chill ran down her spine. The letter didn't just hint at fear. It reeked of a vendetta. Evelyn printed a copy and added it to her growing pile of evidence. Later that evening, Evelyn returned to Isabel's makeshift office at the Historical Society. Isabel had uncovered more letters, each more troubling than the last. One described people disappearing after nightfall, another spoke of families being torn apart. A recurring theme was clear: the circle demanded loyalty, and the keeper ensured compliance. "What do you think this all means?" Isabel asked, her voice barely above a whisper. "It means this town was suffocating under something dark and oppressive," Evelyn said. "And I think it still is." As they sifted through the letters, Evelyn noticed a peculiar detail. Many of the letters referenced a specific date: October 12, 1969. The day the town's population seemed to vanish. It wasn't just a date. It was a deadline. That night, as Evelyn returned to her motel, she felt the weight of eyes on her again. The town was quiet, too quiet. She locked her door and drew the curtains, her mind replaying the warnings she'd read. The letters were more than just remnants of a lost time. They were messages meant to be delivered, and Evelyn was beginning to wonder if she was the wrong person to find them. Just as she settled into bed, her phone buzzed. A text from an unknown number lit up the screen. "Stop reading the letters, or you'll end up like them." Evelyn's heart raced as she stared at the message. Whoever sent it knew what she was doing, and they wanted her to stop. But Evelyn wasn't one to back down. She was in too deep now. The whispers on paper weren't just from the past. They were alive and they were watching. Chapter 3, Shadows of the Past. The air in Elmswood felt heavier the next morning as Evelyn walked briskly to the town's archives, the text from the previous night still gnawing at her nerves. Her instincts screamed at her to leave the letters alone, but curiosity and a fierce determination to uncover the truth pushed her forward. At the archives, Evelyn was greeted by an older man with a wiry frame and a cautious demeanor. He introduced himself as Mr. Jameson, the town's unofficial historian and keeper of local records. His office was a cluttered labyrinth of books, files, and artifacts, each more intriguing than the last. "I hear you've been asking about 69, Jameson said, adjusting his thick-rimmed glasses. "Not many come looking for answers about that year. Most are too scared." "What happened back then?" Evelyn asked. "Why did so many people leave? Or disappear?" Jameson hesitated, his fingers tracing the edges of a faded ledger. "It's a long story, and not a pleasant one. But if you're serious about digging, I'll show you something." He led Evelyn to a locked cabinet, pulling out an old leather-bound ledger. Inside, rows of names were meticulously recorded, followed by strange notations. May, Exodus, or a chilling void. "These are the townsfolk who vanished," Jameson explained. "Some left, sure. But others. It's as if they were swallowed by the earth." Evelyn scanned the list, her eyes catching one name after another. Some were marked with additional notes: defied the circle, refused the keeper, vanished, October 12, 1969. Her pulse quickened. "What is the circle? And who is the keeper?" Jameson's face darkened. The circle was more than a secret society. It was a power structure, a cult that controlled this town for decades. The keeper was their enforcer, a man who claimed to protect the town but ruled with fear. If you stepped out of line, you didn't step back. Back at the historical society, Evelyn met with Isabel to share what she had learned. Together, they began cross-referencing the letters with the ledger. Many of the names matched, and the contents of the letters painted a grim picture of life under the circle's rule. One letter stood out, a desperate account from a mother who wrote about her family being torn apart. "They came for my husband last night. The keeper said he knew too much. I tried to fight, but they told me to choose. My husband or my children. God forgive me for what I've done." Evelyn's hands shook as she read the words. "This wasn't just fear," she said. "This was systematic control. They manipulated people's lives, made them betray each other. It's monstrous." Isabel nodded, her face pale. "But why? What were they trying to accomplish?" That evening, Evelyn decided to visit the last remaining resident who might have first-hand knowledge of the keeper and the circle. Arthur Grayson, a former postmaster now living in a nearby nursing home. Arthur was frail but sharp-eyed, his voice steady despite the weight of the past. "They think I've forgotten," Arthur said when Evelyn mentioned the letters. "But I remember everything. I was the one who held the keys to those letters, who kept them locked away." "Why didn't you send them?" Evelyn asked. Arthur leaned forward, his voice dropping to a whisper. "Because I was told not to. The keeper made it clear. Those letters were never meant to leave. They were warnings, cries for help. But sending them would have put me and my family in the grave." "Who was the keeper?" Evelyn pressed. Arthur hesitated before answering. "A man who looked like anyone else. That was the terrifying part. He wasn't a monster on the outside. He was charming, convincing. People followed him willingly. Until they didn't." Arthur handed Evelyn a faded photograph from a drawer beside his bed. It showed a group of townsfolk gathered in front of the post office, their faces solemn. At the center was a tall man in a dark coat, his face partially obscured by shadow. "That's him," Arthur said. "The keeper." Evelyn stared at the photo, a chill creeping over her. There was something unsettling about the figure in the photograph, something that made her stomach twist. Later that night, as Evelyn reviewed her notes, She felt the weight of her investigation closing in. The connections were clear. The Circle had ruled Elmswood with an iron grip, and the Keeper had enforced their will. But what had pushed the town to the brink in 1969? And why had the letters been hidden for so long? Her thoughts were interrupted by a knock at the motel door. She froze, her heart pounding. It was late, too late for visitors. Slowly, she approached the door and peered through the peephole. No one was there. She opened the door cautiously, her eyes scanning the empty hallway. On the ground lay an envelope, identical to the ones from the attic. She picked it up with trembling hands and opened it. Inside was a single sheet of paper with a chilling message. "You've seen enough. Leave or you'll meet the Keeper." Chapter 4: The Keeper's Game. Evelyn's fingers trembled as she clutched the ominous note. The words, simple yet chilling, lingered in her mind long after she locked her motel door. The Keeper wasn't just a figure of the past. Someone knew she was digging into Elmswood's darkest secrets, and they wanted her to stop. But fear couldn't overpower her resolve. She sat at the small desk in her room, spreading out the letters, photographs, and notes she'd gathered. Each piece painted a disturbing picture of manipulation, fear, and control. And at the center of it all was the Keeper. The next morning, Evelyn drove to the edge of town, following a lead buried in one of the letters. It described a hidden location deep in the woods, an abandoned building where the Circle held their meetings. The letter's author had described the place as the heart of the darkness, where loyalty was tested and betrayal punished. The dirt road leading into the woods was barely passable, overgrown with weeds and littered with fallen branches. Evelyn parked her car and continued on foot, the forest closing in around her. The air felt different here, heavy, oppressive, as though the trees themselves carried the weight of what had happened decades ago. After nearly an hour of searching, she found it, a dilapidated cabin with a sagging roof and shattered windows. The structure looked like it hadn't been touched in years, but Evelyn's instincts told her it held secrets that time hadn't erased. Inside, the cabin was eerily silent. Sunlight filtered through the broken windows, illuminating dust particles suspended in the air. The walls were lined with faded symbols that seemed ritualistic in nature. Circles within circles, intersected by strange lines and sigils. Evelyn's flashlight landed on a table in the center of the room. It was covered in papers, some yellowed with age, others more recent. Among them were lists of names, similar to the ones she'd seen in the postmaster's ledger. Next to the lists were photographs, grainy images of people she recognized from the letters. Each photo was marked with a red X. Her stomach churned as she realized what she was looking at. These were the Keeper's records, a macabre catalog of his victims. One photo stood out, a family of four, smiling at the camera. The same family from the rusted locket she'd found in the post office. Before Evelyn could process the connection, the floor creaked behind her. She whipped around, her flashlight catching the faint outline of a figure standing in the doorway. Her heart pounded as she tried to steady her breath. "Who's there?" she demanded, her voice shaking. The figure didn't respond, but she could hear their slow, deliberate footsteps approaching. Evelyn backed away, her mind racing. The cabin had no other exit, and she was trapped. "I know what happened here," she said, hoping to buy herself time. "I know about the Circle, about the Keeper." The footsteps stopped. For a moment, the only sound was the pounding of Evelyn's heart. Then a deep voice replied, calm and measured. "You know nothing." The figure stepped into the light, revealing an older man with sharp features and piercing eyes. His presence was commanding, almost hypnotic. Evelyn instinctively knew she was standing face to face with someone tied to the Circle, perhaps even the Keeper himself. "You shouldn't have come here," the man said. "This place is sacred. The past is buried for a reason." Evelyn forced herself to hold his gaze. "The past isn't buried, it's hidden. And I'm going to uncover it." The man smirked, a chilling expression that sent shivers down her spine. "You think the letters will save you? They won't. The people who wrote them are gone, and their words are meaningless. You're chasing shadows, Ms. Grant. How do you know my name? Evelyn asked, her voice barely above a whisper. The man didn't answer. Instead, he stepped closer, his demeanor shifting from calm to menacing. Leave this town. Forget what you've seen. If you value your life, you'll listen. Evelyn refused to back down. And if I don't? The man leaned in, his voice low and dangerous. Then you'll meet the keeper. And trust me, you won't like what you find. When Evelyn finally escaped the cabin, her legs felt like lead. She didn't stop running until she reached her car, her mind racing with fear and determination. The man's warning echoed in her ears, but so did the pleas of the letter's authors. Whoever the keeper was, his shadow still loomed over Elmswood, and Evelyn wasn't going to let him silence the truth. As she drove back to the motel, her phone buzzed with another message from the unknown number. Last chance. Leave now, or you'll join the list. Evelyn gripped the steering wheel tighter, her resolve hardening. The keeper's game was one of fear and intimidation, but she wouldn't be his next victim. The truth was out there, buried in the shadows of Elmswood, and she was going to find it, no matter the cost. Chapter 5: Threads of Deceit. The sun was setting as Evelyn sat in her motel room, the weight of the past few days pressing down on her. The encounter at the cabin had left her shaken, but her resolve was stronger than ever. She stared at the letters spread across the desk, her mind piecing together the puzzle. The keeper, the circle, the disappearances, it all led back to that fateful night in 1969. But the full picture was still elusive, and the warning messages only deepened the mystery. Her phone buzzed again. Another text from the unknown number. You've been warned. The keeper doesn't forgive. Evelyn's jaw tightened as she replied. Then he can come find me. She hit send, her defiance masking the gnawing fear that lurked beneath. The letters weren't just cries for help, they were breadcrumbs, and Evelyn was determined to follow the trail to the end. The next morning, Evelyn met Isabel at the Historical Society. Isabel had unearthed more records, including several police reports from 1969 that mentioned the circle by name. Each report was brief, vague, and inconclusive, as though the investigations had been intentionally stifled. They were protecting something, Isabel said, pointing to the reports. Or someone. Look at this. She handed Evelyn a document, a list of payments made to the Elmswood Police Department. At the bottom, scrawled in faded ink, was a note, funds approved by the circle. They owned the police, Evelyn muttered, her stomach twisting. No wonder nothing was done. They owned more than that, Isabel said, pulling out another file. This is a map of the town from 1969. Look at the property records. Evelyn scanned the map, her eyes widening. Nearly every significant piece of land, businesses, homes, even the post office, was listed under the same ownership, Elmswood Trust. The trust's board members were anonymous, but Isabel had traced one name, Victor Harrington. That name came up in one of the letters, Evelyn said, flipping through her notes. She found it, a letter written by a desperate man pleading for mercy. Victor Harrington is one of them. He sits at the table, deciding who lives and who disappears. Please, if anyone finds this, expose him. Victor Harrington, Evelyn repeated, her voice hardening. We need to find him. Their search led them to a gated mansion on the outskirts of town. The Harrington estate was an imposing structure, its wrought iron gates and high walls designed to keep the world out. Evelyn and Isabel parked a safe distance away, their nerves on edge as they debated their next move. We can't just knock on the door, Isabel whispered. What if he's still part of the circle? Evelyn hesitated, then noticed a side gate slightly ajar. We don't have to knock. They slipped through the gate and made their way around the sprawling property. The air was eerily quiet, the only sound the crunch of gravel underfoot. They reached the back of the mansion, where a glass door led into a dimly lit study. Are we really doing this? Isabel asked, her voice trembling. We have to, Evelyn replied, pushing the door open. The study was a testament to wealth and power, its walls lined with leather-bound books and ornate paintings. A large oak desk dominated the room, its surface cluttered with papers. Evelyn immediately began searching, her heart pounding with every creak of the floorboards. "What are we looking for?" Isabel asked, keeping watch by the door. "Anything that ties Harrington to the circle," Evelyn replied. Minutes later, she found it. A ledger hidden beneath a stack of files, its pages filled with names and dates. The names matched those on the letters and the police reports. Next to each name was a notation: Exodus, payment, Orb erased. Evelyn's hands shook as she turned the pages. "This is it," she whispered. "This proves everything." But before she could celebrate, a voice froze them in place. "I believe you're trespassing." They spun around to see an older man standing in the doorway, his piercing eyes unmistakable. "Victor Harrington." "You've been very busy," Harrington said, his tone calm but menacing. "Digging into things that don't concern you." "They concern everyone," Evelyn shot back, clutching the ledger. "You destroyed this town. You and the circle." Harrington chuckled, a sound devoid of humor. "The circle wasn't destruction. It was salvation. We gave this town purpose. Those who disappeared, they were sacrifices for the greater good." "Sacrifices," Isabel said, her voice rising. "You call that salvation?" Harrington stepped closer, his expression darkening. "You have no idea what you've uncovered." The keeper kept order. "Without him, there would have been chaos. Do you think the town just vanished?"
"No."
"It was purged." Evelyn's blood ran cold. "Purged?" Harrington nodded, his eyes gleaming with a twisted sense of pride. "The weak were removed. The disloyal were silenced. Only those who understood the vision survived." Before Evelyn could respond, Harrington's phone buzzed. He glanced at the screen, his demeanor shifting. "You've overstayed your welcome. Leave now while you still can." But Evelyn wasn't ready to leave. "I'm taking this ledger. People deserve to know the truth." Harrington smirked.
"Take it."
"But the truth won't save you. The keeper ensures that." As Evelyn and Isabel fled the mansion, their minds raced with questions. The ledger was a goldmine of evidence, but it came with a price. Harrington's words echoed in Evelyn's mind, a sinister promise that the keeper wasn't done with her yet. That night, as she prepared to send copies of the ledger to her editor, her phone buzzed one last time. "The ledger is meaningless without context. You'll never find the keeper. But he'll find you." Evelyn stared at the message, her resolve hardening. She wasn't done yet. The keeper's web of deceit was unraveling, and she was determined to tear it apart, no matter what it cost. Chapter 6. The final letter. Evelyn sat at her desk, the weight of the ledger pressing down on her like an anchor. Every name, every note, every red mark in its pages told a story of betrayal and fear. The truth was there in her hands, but she couldn't shake the feeling that she was still missing something, something crucial that tied everything together. She needed context. Evelyn flipped through the pages again, searching for patterns, and her eyes landed on an entry that stopped her cold. It wasn't just a name or a date. It was a location: Morrow Creek, Facility 13. Unlike the other notations, this one had been circled multiple times, the ink heavier and darker as if the writer wanted to ensure it wouldn't be overlooked. The next morning, Evelyn and Isabel set out for Morrow Creek. The name didn't appear on any modern maps, but with the help of old records and some guidance from Jameson, they found it. A desolate stretch of land on the outskirts of Elmswood, overgrown with weeds and surrounded by dense woods. A faded wooden sign barely visible through the underbrush marked the way. Morrow Creek Research Facility. The air was colder here, and the oppressive silence made the hairs on the back of Evelyn's neck stand on end. They pushed forward, the sound of their footsteps muffled by the damp earth. Finally, they reached a clearing, and there it was. A crumbling structure, half hidden by vines and thyme. The building had an ominous presence, its broken windows and rusted doors like the hollow eyes of a corpse. "This is it," Evelyn said, her voice barely above a whisper. "What do you think we'll find?" Isabel asked, her voice trembling. "Answers," Evelyn replied. "And maybe something we're not ready for." The inside of the facility was a labyrinth of decayed hallways and abandoned rooms. Dust covered every surface, and the smell of mold and rot was overwhelming. They found remnants of old machinery, stacks of files long since ruined by moisture, and strange diagrams on the walls that hinted at experiments too gruesome to imagine. In the deepest part of the facility, they found a locked metal door. The lock was old but still intact. Evelyn rummaged through her bag and pulled out the key she'd found in the post office letters. Her hands trembled as she inserted it into the lock, praying it would fit. Did. The door groaned open, revealing a small room. At the center was a single table, and on it, a box identical to the one Isabel had found in the attic. Inside were more letters, pristine as though they'd been preserved for decades. Evelyn pulled out the top letter, her breath hitching as she read the words. "If you found this, it means the truth is finally free. We tried to stop the circle, but they were too powerful. The Keeper is a pawn, a tool to maintain their control. But the circle is more than just this town. They're everywhere. They control everything. This facility was their testing ground, and the people of Elmswood were their subjects. When we resisted, they erased us." Evelyn read the words aloud, her voice shaking. Isabel leaned over her shoulder, her face pale. "This wasn't just about Elmswood," Isabel said. "This was global." They continued reading through the letters, each one revealing more horrors. The facility had been a hub for psychological experiments, manipulation tactics, and chemical testing. The circle had used the townsfolk as unwitting test subjects, erasing anyone who uncovered their agenda. As Evelyn packed the letters to take back with her, a noise echoed through the facility, a low creak followed by the sound of footsteps. They froze, their eyes meeting in terror. "Someone's here," Isabel whispered. Evelyn motioned for her to stay quiet. She peered out into the hallway, her heart pounding. A shadow moved across the far wall, growing larger as it approached. She ducked back into the room, grabbing Isabel's arm. "We need to leave. Now." They moved quickly but quietly, retracing their steps through the maze of hallways. The footsteps behind them grew louder, closer, until they were nearly at a run. As they turned a corner, Evelyn caught a glimpse of their pursuer, a tall man in a long coat, his face obscured by the brim of a hat. "The Keeper," she breathed. They burst out of the building and ran for the car, adrenaline surging through their veins. The man didn't follow them outside, but Evelyn could feel his presence, watching from the shadows of the facility. She didn't stop until they were back on the main road, her hands gripping the steering wheel so tightly her knuckles turned white. Back at the motel, Evelyn began digitizing the letters and the ledger, sending encrypted copies to her editor and a trusted colleague. If anything happened to her, the truth would still come out. But as she worked, her phone buzzed again. This time it wasn't a warning. It was a video. She clicked on it, her stomach twisting as the footage played. It showed the facility's hallway, grainy and dimly lit. The camera panned to a door, then to the same man in the long coat. He stepped into the frame and stared directly into the camera, his face still obscured. A voice, deep, slow, and deliberate, spoke over the footage. "You've uncovered the past. But the past is where you'll stay. The circle does not forgive. And the Keeper does not forget." The video ended abruptly. Evelyn's chest tightened as the gravity of her situation sank in. The circle wasn't just a relic of the past. They were active, powerful, and fully aware of her investigation. She stared at the screen, her mind racing. She had enough evidence to expose them, but doing so would make her a target. The question wasn't whether she could publish the truth. It was whether she could survive it. Chapter 7. The Truth in the Shadows. Evelyn sat in her motel room, staring at the glowing screen of her laptop. The letters, the ledger, and the video, all the evidence she needed, were digitized and ready to be sent to her editor. Her fingers hovered over the keyboard, her heart pounding. One click, and the world would know the truth about the Circle, the Keeper, and the horrors that had consumed Elmswood. But the question lingered. Would she live to see the fallout? A sudden knock at the door shattered her thoughts. She froze, her breath catching in her throat. It was late, too late for visitors. Her mind raced as she grabbed the heaviest object within reach, a rusted wrench she'd found at the facility. "Who is it?" she called out, her voice steady despite her fear. No answer. The knock came again, louder this time. Evelyn crept to the door and peered through the peephole. The hallway was empty. Her phone buzzed on the desk. A new message from the unknown number lit up the screen. "You've had your chance to walk away. Now it's our turn to act." The room felt smaller, the walls closing in as Evelyn packed her belongings. She couldn't stay in the motel any longer. It wasn't safe. She grabbed her laptop, the originals of the letters, and the ledger, shoving everything into her bag. Isabel was waiting at the Historical Society, and Evelyn knew they needed to leave Elmswood immediately. But as she stepped outside, the night felt wrong. The air was heavy, oppressive, and the usual distant hum of crickets was gone. Her car was parked under a flickering street lamp, the shadows around it seeming to shift as she approached. A figure emerged from the darkness, blocking her path. Tall, imposing, and unmistakable, the Keeper. Evelyn's blood ran cold. His face was partially obscured by the brim of his hat, but his presence was undeniable. He stood motionless, as if daring her to run. "You've seen enough," he said, his voice low and commanding. "This ends here." Evelyn gripped her bag tighter, her mind racing. "You can't stop the truth. I've already sent the files." The Keeper tilted his head, as though amused. "The truth. The truth is a matter of perspective. By the time your words reach the world, we'll have rewritten them. You think you've won, but you don't understand who you're dealing with." "I understand enough," Evelyn shot back, her voice steadier than she felt. "I understand you've spent decades silencing people, destroying lives, and hiding behind fear. But you can't stop me." The Keeper took a step closer, his presence suffocating. "You're brave, Ms. Grant. Brave but foolish. The Circle has existed long before you, and it will exist long after. You're just another name on the list." Evelyn didn't wait to hear more. She turned and ran, her footsteps echoing in the empty street. Her car was just a few feet away, but as she reached it, she realized the tires had been slashed. Panic surged through her as she glanced back. The Keeper was gone. She darted into the nearest alley, her breath coming in ragged gasps. She needed to get to Isabel, but the streets of Elmswood felt like a labyrinth, every shadow a potential threat. She ducked into the back door of the Historical Society, locking it behind her. Isabel was waiting, her face pale. "What happened?" "He's here," Evelyn said, struggling to catch her breath. "The Keeper. He's trying to stop us." "We have to go," Isabel said, grabbing her bag. "There's a train leaving in 30 minutes. If we can get to the station." The sound of shattering glass interrupted her. Both women froze as footsteps echoed through the building. "He's inside," Evelyn whispered, her heart pounding. "We have to move." The chase through the Historical Society was a blur of adrenaline and terror. Evelyn and Isabel weaved through the aisles of artifacts and documents, the Keeper's footsteps never far behind. He moved with a calculated precision, as though he were toying with them. They reached the back exit, but the door wouldn't budge. Isabel frantically searched for another way out while Evelyn turned to face the approaching footsteps. "You won't win," she said, her voice defiant. The Keeper stepped into the dim light, his face finally fully visible. He was older than she'd imagined, his features weathered but sharp, his eyes cold and calculating. "Winning isn't the goal," he said. "Maintaining order is." Before Evelyn could respond, Isabel found a fire escape ladder leading to the roof. "This way," she shouted. They climbed to the roof and made their way to the edge, where the town's train station was visible in the distance. The train was already at the platform, its engine humming softly. It was their only chance. "Jump," Evelyn said, lowering herself over the edge. The drop wasn't far, but it felt like a chasm as adrenaline coursed through her veins. She landed hard, pain shooting through her legs, but she kept moving. Isabel followed, and together they sprinted toward the station. The train was starting to move as they reached it. Evelyn grabbed Isabel's hand, pulling her onto the last car just as it began to pick up speed. They collapsed onto the floor, their breaths ragged, their bodies trembling. For the first time in hours, there was silence. Evelyn opened her laptop, checking to ensure the files had been sent. A notification confirmed it. Her editor had received everything. The truth was out of her hands now, and all she could do was hope it would reach the world before the Circle could intervene. As the train sped away from Elmswood, Evelyn looked out the window, her gaze fixed on the receding town. She thought of the lives lost, the people who had fought against the Circle and paid the price. Their voices had been silenced for too long, but now, finally, they had been heard. Later that night, as the train sped through the darkness, Evelyn received one final text from the unknown number. "You've made your move. Now we'll make ours. The Circle never forgets." Evelyn stared at the message, her resolve unbroken. The Keeper and the Circle might come for her, but she wasn't afraid anymore. She had done what she set out to do. She had uncovered the truth. And no matter what happened next, she would face it head-on. The shadows of Elmswood were behind her now, but their echoes would remain forever.